We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Spins, gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This is Luke Dort, you're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncontested Weekly Show, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and proudly sponsored by Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. I'm your host on this Wednesday evening, JD Silva, joined by one fella, and it's Taylor Peterson.
The two-man game, the dub and the Chet is what they're calling us. Also, ruff, and here is, for those on the live stream, Oklahoma City Dogs shirt. Shout out our guy, Justin. My shirts came in. They look incredible. And what a perfect night to be sure to head over to Cotton Bureau and order your own.
What the dog doing?
What that shirt, dog doing?
That shirt looks
Rumbles over so here. Good. He's looking at me, but he didn't bark. I'm proud of him, but also would have been kind of cool if he would have barked in this moment, you know, for good all job, the times Rumble. he's interrupted the podcast.
Before we break down tonight's game against the Jazz, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating if you have not done so already. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. Hang out with us in the YouTube chat. Have a lot of fun here. We'll be back on Friday.
Chat's already popping. Love to see it.
Chat is already popping. A couple of dates to keep in mind, just some housekeeping. This Friday, we're podcasting live from Chicken and Pickle after the Raptors game. Come hang out with us if you want. That'll be fun. Taylor and I probably drinking some beers. That'd be great.
Couple brews. Some more hot chicken. It's not Dave's, but it is a watch party actually thrown by the Thunder themselves, and we get to do a live podcast after, which we are really excited about. So we'd love for you all to come out, watch Silva and I make fools of ourselves, and Jacob hold it down for us per usual. It'll be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to see you all in person. Play some cornhole. Yeah, it's a great outdoor area. They have TVs everywhere, and that's just the first of many watch parties for us heading into the playoffs. So really exciting stuff.
Yes, next one, of course, on April 5th at Dave's, which will be a blast. But let's get into tonight's game. Taylor and I were texting first, second, third quarter intermittently about this game. We thought we were going to be covering a stinker. That's what it looked like. You know, if I'm hosting, there's a good chance I'm going to be covering a stinker, even though this team is like the one seed in the West. That just keeps happening. But tonight, Chet Holmgren 119, Jazz 107 is what I have written down, because this was, in my opinion, Chet's best game, my favorite game from Chet. What a blast. Just injected life into this game when most of the Thunder were lacking a little bit of it for good chunks, at least on defense. But 119, 107 against the Jazz, took care of business at the end of the day. Taylor, some big takeaways. Should we just start with Chet?
I think we just start with Chet. I mean, what a game from him. Like you mentioned, Silva, he's had some fantastic games throughout his this is his rookie season, technically his second in the league, or in the league, I guess. But his first playing and just absolutely dominant on both ends of the floor. 35 points. I understand it's like it kind of gets boring to just read off stat lines, but when you look at Chet's box score, it really kind of puts everything into perspective. 35 points, 14 rebounds, 12 of 18 from the floor. Surprisingly, he was only 1 of 5 from 3. That was maybe the only bad part of his box score tonight. 10 of 12 from the free throw line. He had two steals, 3 blocks, just was absolutely dominant. Honestly, yet again, Silva, I thought he had another block, maybe two, taken away from him there. Especially there was one in the first half. I can't even remember who it was that he blocked. It immediately got taken away, and it's just...
How does that keep happening?
I don't understand.
So obvious.
I mean, right. Yeah. Like, I guess the Wimby national hype is running throughout the NBA. It's kind of crazy, but Chet was just absolutely dominant. And there, like you mentioned, especially in that third quarter when Thunder really didn't have a lot of things going for them, even though they started out strong in the third, let the Jazz come back and make it essentially a one possession game. Chet just absolutely took over there towards the end of the third and the fourth quarter. He had that stretch of plays there in the fourth. And let's see, of course, like I mentioned, I don't have my notes organized here. But I have, okay, so Chet gets the and one. And honestly, at this point, Silva, I can't even remember if that was a dunk or not.
No, he had so many
dunks. One of his three posters, and we'll get into those. Yeah. But he gets one of the and ones that he had. Contested shot on the other end of the floor. I'm not sure if he was credited with a block or not, but he ends up with the ball after contesting the shot. Throws just a great pass down the floor to J-Dub, who finds a wide open Wiggins for a corner three. And that really kind of sparked Wiggins there in the fourth, which was huge for this team on a night the Thunder bench didn't really have it going. Like, that was just the epitome of Chet's game tonight. He was aggressive. And we've seen this. We've talked a lot about this. Thunder fans have tweeted a lot about this. When Chet's coming off days of rest, he always seems to really perform well.
He was jazzed the hell up. No pun intended there, but he was jazzed the hell up against the Jazz. He, in my head, this is Chet's rookie year. It's expected that he's going to be tired in a lot of games, especially late in the season. But like you just said, coming off a rest, he is an animal, a dog. I'm hoping that in Chet's prime, is this just what we're going to get regularly because his conditioning is so much better? Because this is absurd. Like, he had three of the best dunks of his career in this game. They were incredible. That's probably an exaggeration. We'll say two of the best dunks of his career. An incredible lob catch from J-Dub over, I think, Walker Kessler. And then the one you're going to see everywhere over... I don't even know who it was over. It couldn't have been John Collins, was it? Poor guy. Surely not.
That would be a hell of a week for John Collins. I have it here. I'm making sure my volume's down. Number zero. Who is number zero?
I don't know. We need to find out. We need to document the crime.
I will find this out quickly.
Okay, nice. But good God, it was Hendricks?
That was Dubs and one.
Taylor Hendricks, they're saying.
Yeah, it was Taylor.
Who had a great defensive game, I thought. So that was a good defender he dunked on, and my God, he dunked the shit out of the ball. And
his second one was after he got past, I believe it was THT, Talen Horton-Tucker, goes up for the two-handed slam, gets just absolutely mauled in the face.
Yeah.
And I didn't think there was a call at first because he was down the floor, like grabbing his face, and Chet just obviously cannot stop getting hit in the face for whatever reason this season. It kind of reminds me of J-Dub last year, oddly enough. But he ends up getting the and one, hits that free throw. And I believe that kind of led to the stretch of plays that I mentioned at the top of the podcast, just dominance from Chet. And when he's playing so aggressive, like you said, Silva, this is what we want to see more of from Chet. Obviously understand tired legs and the duration of the season, like that obviously gets to him. But I think here down the stretch, if he's playing like this, I mean, he really is who kept the Thunder afloat when they really didn't have it defensively. We'll get into that as well. You mentioned that. Even offensively it kind of became a little stagnant in the second half, and Chet is really who kept the offense alive.
Yeah, and I love the 18 field goal attempts. Like, he was just relentless, and he wasn't just relying on the three, because he was 1 of 5, like 1 of 5 from three, like you said. They just weren't falling. They didn't look bad. Like, he wasn't short-arming them all, I don't think. But he was just relentless with his drives, cooking whoever was on him. They started John Collins at center. Didn't matter. Chet just took him to the rim, finished over him. Just a crazy display. Like we heard coming into the draft that Chet's at rim finishing was special, and it was just on full display in the first half. But he only finished the first half with 9 points, if I remember correctly. 9 points he finished the first half with, and he ended with 35.
I want to say it was 11 only because I think I heard the broadcast say he had like 26 or something like that in the second half. Just absolutely insane. And I love what you mentioned, Silva. Like, it's just the Chet that we should envision moving forward, like after another offseason, and he puts on a little more strength and just more accustomed to the grit and grind, the NBA. I absolutely think so. Especially when you look at I mentioned the free throw attempts, but that's something we haven't seen much from Chet all season. That's really exciting. Obviously, the Jazz were shorthanded, and that's a little disclaimer here to throw out at the top of the podcast. Mm-hmm. But if he's able to get to the line like that, and like I think the exciting thing, there's still so much room for growth. Like we both have already talked about, 1 in 5 from three. He starts knocking those down as well and spreading the floor like we've seen him do this season, and puts a full game together. Like, sky's the limit, and that's really exciting.
And they tried the two different center archetypes on him with John Collins, the small ball, super athletic center that you would think he's really strong. You would think he could get up underneath Chet and cause issues. Didn't matter. Chet just finished over him. Then they put Walker Kessler, you know, third in rookie of the year last year. I kind of thought he was going to be like a real player for them. People were saying like, oh, he's already as good as Rudy Gobert last season. Chet cooked the shit out of him too, except in a different way. He kept hitting this fadeaway jumper in the paint, just right over the top of him. Every time he would drive, he just has an answer for every type of matchup at this point as a rookie. And it's insane.
I love that you brought that up about the different centers that they threw at him, and it didn't really matter. Unfortunately, the app I have pulled up does not have points in the paint, but I can get to that. But regardless, I mean, Chet was obviously a big deterrent there for the Jazz.
Yeah.
And the paint as well. It was really just Colin Sexton who just torched the Thunder.
Torched him.
Yet again, I think we have to put him on the All-NBA Thunder Torchers, Thunder Scorers, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Andrew Wiggins is the inaugural member, I think, of that team.
Yeah.
Colin Sexton just continues to really play well against this team. But outside of that, Chet did a fantastic job of just deterring shots around the rim. And I also love that Mark kept him in that fourth quarter. We usually see Chet subbed out about midway through the fourth and then brought back in towards the end. And in a game where the Thunder never quite were able to just kind of run away with this game like they should have against the Jazz, I really love that Mark kept him in for the majority of the fourth quarter until the end, when Chet was playing so well.
Totally, totally agree. And you saw it right away. I know you were busy for the first quarter or so, but this Thunder started off really strong. The energy was great. They looked really good. And then Chet came out at the usual time he does in the first quarter. And immediately the Jazz's game plan switched to attacking the paint over and over and over and over and over again, because the rim deterrent of Chet is just gone. And that's when things kind of started to slip. And as soon as Chet was in a game that was mostly close and the Thunder only won by 12, Chet was a plus 27. Which is absurd.
So I just pull it up. It's not quite as big of a discrepancy as I would have thought, but the Thunder had 56 points in the paint, which obviously they're fantastic at in comparison to the Jazz's 54. And like I said, I don't have the stats for individual players here, but it felt like a lot of those came from Colin Sexton.
Yeah. I have one minor gripe. It's at the very end of the game, Chet was at 35, one bucket away from his career high. He gets benched. Totally fine. I get it. SGA has 29 points and is hobbling because he got like kneed in the upper thigh and was hobbling for most of the second half. He stays out there for another 2 minutes just trying to get to his 31, clearly, because it was SGA and like Usman and Jay Will and the bench. Lindy, I think, was out there. Like,
Lindy was who came in for Shea. And to your point, they had to intentionally foul after Mark was yelling at them to get Shea out of the game.
Yeah. And then he limped to the bench.
You're right. I had the same thought. Like, I'm not totally against, especially a player like SGA. Here down the stretch, we're hearing so much about the MVP narrative going on right now between Jokic and Shea, and a lot of national media are saying, oh, Jokic has it wrapped up. I understand wanting Shea to get another 30 piece. especially in a game that I think the Thunder probably should have beat the Jazz by quite a bit more. But that being said, why not keep Chet in there as well and let him get that career high? I think the broadcast said they called it a career high because in regulation it was 35 points for Chet. And in regulation is a career high. However, he had 36 against the Warriors earlier in the season in that insane overtime game. So I'm with you. If we're going to do that for Shea, why not let both of them play a couple more minutes?
Yeah, just feed him. It's fine.
Yeah.
You can get it.
Yep.
We could talk about SGA if you want. He finished. It was the usual SGA night, 12 of 22, 7 assists, 4 steals for him, 3 rebounds. He was solid. He was himself, but he does look kind of beat up. Like he seems a step slow almost.
I agree completely, and I think I tweeted that out. Like you said, you look at his box score, and per usual, it's another great Shea box score at 31 points, 7 assists, 12 of 22 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3. Only got to the free throw line 6 times tonight, which we've become accustomed to quite a bit more from Shea, even with the quote-unquote adjustment that the league has made post-All-Star break. Shea's still been getting to the line more. And honestly, last week, when I thought he wasn't necessarily playing his best game, or playing his best, he was still getting to the line. I'm going blank now. I think it was the Mavericks game where he went to the line quite a bit and still got those 30 points. He was efficient. He wasn't forcing, which I like to see tonight. I thought last week we saw a little more forcing from Shea, especially from the three-point line. But I think you're onto something. He looks tired, and he looks a little beat up. Not in the sense of like he's battling some like major injury or anything like that, but I would not be surprised at the end of the season if he's nursing some injury that he's been battling through the majority of the season.
Yeah,
I understand that kind of maybe sounds like we're making excuses for the best player on the team when he's not performing at his best. And I'm not trying to do that. I think Shea absolutely should be performing a little more. And even selfishly, I mentioned the MVP narrative. Thought this would have been a perfect opportunity for him to really put up like a 40 piece and really kind of start to shift that narrative. But at the same time, he's still just extremely efficient, getting to his spots, even when he's struggling, even when teams are throwing multiple defenders at him. And Shea just continues to perform at a high level.
Yeah, I have this like fear. It's not a fear. It's just like a concern that maybe isn't even valid because SGA is so well conditioned and like takes such good care of his body clearly that is it going to be what's the wear and tear like for someone that has so total drives this year? SGA has 1,580. The second player has essentially 1,200.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah.
Who's in second place? Is
Jalen Brunson with 1188.
That makes sense.
So 1580 to 1188 is the drop off. So
right around 300 more drives. That is crazy. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think we're starting to see it.
Yeah.
That's a really great point. We're starting to see some of that wear and tear.
Is that sustainable?
Yes, only because we're seeing him put up 30 a game regardless.
Yeah.
And
I guess like season over season, is it sustainable? Like what?
Fair.
You know, 3 seasons from now, is he still going to be doing that? I don't know. Is he even going to have to? Because he plays a lot more like Chris Paul than I think I really like. He can lean into more of that, I think, and the craftiness of his game. So I think his game's going to age well, but that is a lot of reps.
Absolutely. And like we mentioned, he's getting to the line so much. I don't have those stats pulled up in front of me either for a post game. But one thing about Shea, we've talked about this every single season. I think a friend of the podcast, Brett Dawson, wrote something about this with Shea when he was still working with The Athletic here a couple seasons ago. All the way back to every season of his career, all the way back to high school, but really since entering into college ball with Kentucky, and then now into the NBA, he's always improving his game. Mm-hmm. He's always taking that next step. This season, it seems to be more of the three-point shot and just continue to be a little more aggressive. So I just wonder, Silva, like with you bringing that up, do we see him maybe easing up a little more next season in regards to driving to the rim and drawing those fouls, relying a little more on that three-point shot? And then also continuing to create for others at a high level now that he has guys like Chet dropping 35. And I mentioned on my Dave's hot take on Sunday, like Dub just continuing to play at a high level. Maybe we see him be a little less, a little less reliant on driving to the rim like that. Not that that will never be the main part of his game, but hopefully he finds that right balance and we aren't seeing him kind of nurse some of these injuries heading into the latter parts of seasons.
I hope he gets like, it's fine if he sits out a game, like one game. Like that is okay. I kind of
he did come off 3 games of rest though, you know, or sorry, did. 3 games, 3 days of rest as this entire team did, which maybe transitioning us to another theme. It's like, was a little frustrating from this Thunder team. It's weird. It's like they get this much needed rest that we talk so much about throughout this season. And then whenever they do get those periods of rest, they don't seem to quite perform as a team at the high level we become accustomed to in comparison to maybe like one game of rest or one, I keep saying that one game of rest, one night of rest in between games. And I kind of thought that was a theme of this team as a whole outside of Shea. Obviously, we can talk about individual box scores, but the defense just wasn't very crisp. They let the shorthanded Utah Jazz shoot 44% from the floor. The Jazz only shot 27% from three, although they kind of torched the Thunder early, and they did half from three. Also allowed 18 free throws for the Jazz, which maybe doesn't seem like a ton, but when you look at who the Jazz actually played, it feels like quite a bit. And they also were, well, I say they were out-rebounded. Again, my stupid app. They like to include team stats, and they like add all of them up. Anyways, all that being said, I didn't think the defensive intensity was quite there tonight after 3 days of rest.
Yeah, it was a little uncharacteristic. It kind of felt like Thunder 1.0, where they just kind of expected them to their opponent to lay down a little. That's kind of the vibe I was getting early on. It's like they went up early. Everyone was kind of laughing and joking around, and the Jazz were like, started hitting shots, and they couldn't shut off the water. The Thunder couldn't shut off the water. Like Johnny, is it Johnny? How do you pronounce his last name?
Juzang.
Okay, John. I didn't know if
I'm the last person you should be asking, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
We've come full circle on that. good old Johnny. I thought the narrative was going to be Johnny lighting us up because he started out 3 of 3 from three. Unfortunately, that did not continue. Yeah, I don't know. The defense wasn't disciplined. We're going to talk more about that after our first break in just a little bit. I almost feel like they've already proven what they can do this season, and they're not as locked in right now. You know, like they're probably ready for the playoffs ultimately. Like they've paid their dues. They feel like, though they would never say this, but even subconsciously, they could be doing this. They could be 50-20 if they won their next two games. Like,
and they still likely can, but I think you're right. There's something to be said about playing I think actually it was Dub who was during his media availability at practice or shoot around earlier today before the game, just kind of mentioned like something about playing a team like Utah is that it makes it a little tough because they're throwing out different bodies and there's no really film. I don't want to say there's no film to watch on these guys, but you don't quite know what to expect.
Yeah.
And these guys are just clawing for it, right? They're clawing for playing time and they're young guys that are hungry. And Dub said, you know, we've been there before. And it does remind you a little bit of the Thunder team from like two seasons ago where they could upset a team on any given night. Yeah. And I also think about guys like national people who cover this team, like national media who cover the league, sorry, like Matt Moore. He mentions, you know, these March games can just kind of get a little crazy.
Again,
there's something to be said about that. But at the same time, after 3 nights of rest, like I would have liked to see more defensive intensity. And then maybe another thing we get into, Silva, kind of curious your thoughts. You were texting me about this a little bit before we head into break here. I think when you mentioned the Thunder bench, we had, let's see, 21 points off the bench, 6 of those from Aaron Wiggins. All 6 of his points came in the second half. I believe the fourth quarter, even with two corner threes. I can't remember for sure because I don't have those screenshots from the first half. But Cason Wallace had 5 points. I think a lot of those came in the second half as well. And then Jay Will only had 3 points. Gordon Hayward had all 7 of his points in the first half.
Can't believe it.
We were all excited. Thunder fans were all excited.
Yeah.
And then just basically nothing in the second half as he only has 3 shot attempts total on the game. All 3 of those coming in the first half.
So I thought tonight was going to be the night. I even tweeted out like a wrestling gif because he started 2 of 2 from 3. And I was like, he's going to go over 5 shot attempts this game. It's going to happen. And he ends with 3.
Well, and one of those came towards the end of the first half. Yeah. Actually, I thought he made the three because shortly after, I can't remember who it was, the Thunder got the rebound, got a basket. There was a timeout called. I thought Hayward hit that three. He did not. Did not attempt another field goal attempt in the entirety of the second half. And so, like, with Gordon, we see what he's capable of when he's looking to score. There's obviously a fine balance there between doing the small things like he's been doing ever since being traded here at the trade deadline, and the defensive rotations and making the extra pass and getting some of those rebounds and creating for teammates. But we just really need to see him be a little more assertive on the offensive end of the floor, especially come playoff time.
We do.
But that goes for the bench as a whole. It's kind of what I'm getting at. Isaiah Joe has not been playing well. I mentioned that here a couple weeks ago. He was my spark of the week here a couple weeks ago because I just wanted to see him shoot a little more efficiently. But tonight, 0 points, 0 of 4 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. Had some fine defensive plays like he usually does. But Joe's just not playing very well right now.
No, I agree. It was sloppy. It was sloppy from a lot of the bench guys. Some of the starters in stretches. Are there any other guys we haven't talked about? J-Dub or Giddy or Dort? Like, J-Dub was really good. He was 8 of 14, plus 28. His shot making kind of kept him afloat in the first half, I thought. Giddy, really quickly, like, our chat's having a war about Josh Giddy right now. It's fine, everyone. It's fine.
I actually have positive things to say about Giddy tonight, believe it or not. I thought he was fine.
Yeah, he was 2 of 9 from the field, but
that sucks. But outside of that,
he contributed elsewhere. He was 11 rebounds, 8 assists, a block. I think he was fine. Like, his size really was useful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he wasn't any worse than some of these other players.
No.
You mentioned, obviously, J-Dub, just quickly. Mm-hmm. You mentioned him playing really well there in the first half. Second half, he kind of trailed off. Maybe some of that was taking more of a backseat to Chet because he had some great passes to Chet being highlighted by that lob that we talked about there, I believe, in the fourth quarter to Chet. That connection continues to be awesome. But it would have been nice to see Dub a little more assertive in a game like tonight. I can say shorthanded Utah Jazz team, and in a night where Shea just, again, a weird Shea game. And when Shea was out, I thought there was a good opportunity there for Dub to kind of take control, and he did not. But still, solid game from Dub. Can't complain. Only other player you mentioned there, Silva, that I think we need to briefly mention is Lu Dort. He was fine-ish. 9 points, 2 of 5 from the floor, only 1 of 4 from 3 tonight. But he was 4 of 4 from the free throw line. The defense, just when he doesn't have an elite player to guard. Mm-hmm. This is something I mentioned, and then one of my friends reached out and actually gave me those stats. I rattled him off on a podcast here about a month ago. I can't remember him, but he plays so much better offensively when he's guarding somebody, when he has like a bona fide defensive assignment.
It's like fuel for him.
And the reason I bring, exactly. The reason I bring up Lou is because he did not start the second half. Mm-hmm. And it was not because he was hurt, but Mark wanted to see a little bit of a different look there to start the second and started with Kaysen. I just find that interesting. I don't know if he would have done that if it wasn't the shorthanded Utah Jazz. I'm not trying to look too much into this, but it's worth noting for sure.
It is. Mark's just willing to try stuff, and I really respect that. And no one on the team takes it personally if he tries stuff. You know, everyone's earned their respect and their playing time. I think we've talked about this game enough. We can head to break and go to our weekly segment. We'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, we are back from the break, and now it's time for our Spark OKC Spark of the Week. But first, spark joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint, Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger, pink fries, which I love deeply, frozen Peach Club special, and rotating custard flavor of the month. Located directly west of the Paycom Center, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game. We all know two scoops or even three scoops of custard is better than one, so be on the lookout for Spark number 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills later this spring and summer. Still need to try their custard. Have not done so. Going to a Thunder game next week, I think. There's an opportunity
hit
there.
At Spark. I love it.
Opportunity there.
Yeah, our good friend Kerry is coming down to we're going to go to a Thunder game with him, so we absolutely will be hitting up our friends at Spark and Dave's. Can't wait for Kerry to get that experience. And going to get ourselves some of that custard and the pink fries.
Oh, God. That's so good. I'm going to get hungry on this podcast at 10 o'clock at night. all right. I guess I can kick us off here. Spark of the Week. What's going to inspire the team? What's going to fuel the team? It can be a player, a concept, an idea. I'm going to say getting right on defense. I think their defense has slipped a little after the All-Star break. Some of that could be fatigue. Some of that could be just the malaise of the middle of the season. Some of that could be the way they're being reffed. They're being like the referees have made an about face with the foul calls. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around that and like what I'm seeing that tonight. Like I could tell tonight it was different. And I don't know. I just think they need to collect themselves a little on that end. Kind of, they're going to play against Toronto on Friday. That's a team that's not that great. You can just lock in, play your game, and get right.
I agree. Like I said, I wish I had stats heading into this podcast. I don't.
We'll use the eye test.
The eye test. That's exactly right. But I did see something. I'm trying to remember who it is. I'm going completely blank here. Who does the net ratings, offensive net ratings, defensive net ratings, and overall net ratings for the past 10 games. And the Thunder's defense has absolutely slipped since the All-Star break.
Yep.
And to your point, Silva, the eye test, like it tells the entirety of the story. They just aren't quite locked in from the first to the fourth quarter for the entirety of a game like we saw earlier in the season. So I'm with you. Especially heading into the playoffs, I understand these guys are tired, they're worn down, they're beat down, but we really need to see some more crisp defensive rotations. There's way too many open three-point attempts for the Jazz. They started missing those shots there in the second half, but especially in the first when they were hitting them. That seems to be a theme over the past 2 weeks, way too many open three-point attempts for opponents. So they definitely need to lock down on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, and it's a Kirk Goldsberry puts that out.
Thank you, Kirk.
Yeah, his most recent one was 5 days ago. I assume we'll get another one in a couple days. But Thunder were fourth in net rating total, but 10th in offense, 9th in defense. So just a little lower than where they've been along the season. I'm not like...
Which is crazy to think about and talk about.
Still top 10 in both.
The point still stands, but it is like... I was having this conversation with some friends, even with like within my family group text, just about expectations heading into the season. And how we all were talking about, like, I don't know, maybe the ceiling is like being able to host a playoff series, top four in the West. And here they are at first in the West. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, we had a real conversation about they could miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the West is so good. They're at the top. all right. What is your spark of the week, Taylor?
So this one's tough. Again, no stats for the spark of the week. I think the easy one to go here, just an honorable mention, is probably Chet. When he's playing this aggressive and like he is, it completely transforms this team. And I think we still haven't quite seen the perfect balance of Chet, Dub, and Shea when they're all playing in a tandem. And I would love to see that heading down this stretch of the regular season, heading into the playoffs. So Chet's an easy one to say he's a spark, but I think the one I'm going to go with is the Thunder bench. Like I said, tonight the Thunder had 21 bench points. That almost feels a little inflated because a lot of those came towards the end of the game. And they really struggled there in that first half. Like you said earlier in the podcast, when Shea was on the bench and they just weren't, and when Chet was on the bench, they weren't able to generate much offense at all. Mm-hmm. They're missing wide open shot attempts. That kind of goes hand in hand with one of my previous sparks of the week where I mentioned the 3-point shooting and those stats when, you know, the Thunder are winning so many more games when they're shooting much better from three. A lot of those 3-point attempts and that 3-point scoring comes from that Thunder bench. Even Isaiah Joe, even Aaron Wiggins, Cason Wallace, guys like Jay Will, guys like that aren't hitting or even getting those 3-point attempts. That kills this team. So my spark for the week is going to be the Thunder bench. We need to see more production from them moving forward.
It's really good. It's a really good point. And I don't know, it just doesn't seem like there's a rhythm on the bench as far as like, what is everyone's role? I mean, everyone is a role player, but is it going to be a different guy leading them in scoring every night? Like, it feels like one of Kenrich, Gordon, Wiggins, or Cason is just going to have a really bad game. Like, out of nowhere, it's like, I don't know. There's not a lot of consistency on the bench right now. And that's because Mark's minutes distribution is not consistent. Like, Kenrich play tonight?
He did not. No, yeah. Kenrich Williams tonight. We didn't even mention that when we were breaking down the game.
And we consider him like one of the first guys off the bench in the playoffs, and he didn't play. So it's tough.
Like you said, kind of a blessing, more of a blessing, but a little bit of a curse.
Yeah.
Just in regards to the inconsistency, I think that's a with the lineups, that's a strength for this team, but it leads to some inconsistency with players. For example, my brother was texting me a little bit early during the game and just mentioned, like, you know, we understand Hayward needing to get some of these minutes and trying to get his feet wet and get him comfortable heading into the playoffs. But we saw what Wiggins did in the fourth once he kind of got his feet under him. What if it's Wiggins getting a little more of those Gordon Hayward minutes and he's finding it earlier in the game?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just a specific example.
Totally agree. Or even tonight, like, take some of Dort's minutes away, take a couple of Giddy's minutes away, give them to Wiggins and let him try. You know, and he still ended up with 18 minutes, but I'd put him up to 22, something like that. That would have been fine.
Yeah, Jason had 22 tonight, for example. Yeah.
Yep.
To Hayward's 16 and Jay Will's 15. And I love Jay Will. He's been playing really well post All-Star break, but was pretty ineffective tonight. Those are minutes that probably could go elsewhere.
Yeah.
In a game like tonight, to be clear.
Yeah. Before we move on, Smoot has a really good spark of his own there. Defense on forwards. We have Scottie Barnes, Zion, and Giannis the next three games. That is a good point. You know, it's probably just going to be J-Dub. It's probably going to be J-Dub on those guys. And like a J-Dub, J-Will, occasionally Chet, occasionally a Lu Dort. It feels like those are going to be the guys. Or Hayward, maybe?
It'll be a team effort, for sure. But I think you're spot on. It'll be Dub getting the main assignment with the Thunder throwing multiple bodies at those defenders. However, kind of going back to something we mentioned with Lu Dort here a little bit ago, maybe that's what this Thunder team needs to kind of fire them up on the defensive end of the floor from the very beginning of the game and to bring that intensity throughout the majority of the game.
Yeah, like a real assignment. And Zion looks really, really good right now. I'm honestly happy for him. Like, he looks healthy, knock on wood, and he looks engaged. That'll be a really fun game. Let's go to our second break, and then we're going to preview Friday's game and then get out of here. Be right back.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? you won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We are back. All right. We've talked about it a little bit just now. What are you looking for against Toronto? Do you feel like, is SGA going to, I assume SGA is going to play. It's Toronto. They're going to Toronto.
SGA will play, especially because, you know, we talked about him staying in the game to get those 30 points. He's maybe a little banged up, but you still have another night in between games before they head up to Toronto. I would be shocked if Shea does not play. So obviously I would like to see a little more assertive Shea, although a Shea who was so great at this earlier in the season, finding that balance between being assertive and getting to his spots and also not forcing shots. Mm-hmm. Like we saw maybe here, like over the last week or so, where it seemed like he was forcing a little too much. I think Shea's a great one. Obviously the defense is something we talked about. This is another team, and I like – well, actually, Scotty Barnes is out.
That's what I was looking up just now. I'm pretty sure
he's like
a broken hand or something.
Whose comment
right?
was that? I'm not giving them – oh, it was Smoot? Yeah, our guy Smoot. Yeah, so Scotty Barnes, obviously, that would be a really fun test for this Thunder defense, but he's going to be out for a while, I believe. Yeah. I don't think we'll see him. Going to be another similar game to the Jazz, and so maybe what I'm looking for, just big picture, as I hope they're just a little more dominant from start to finish – and are able to take care of business against the Raptors before heading into a pretty tough stretch in April.
It is a tough stretch. Just get that game, you know, get it over with early if you can. Let the bench fight it out, rest, because the next two games, Giannis and Zion, like it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
Great test. It's exciting. I mean, even for me as a fan, Silva, I'm curious your thoughts, but like, as much as I hate to admit it, it is way more exciting to watch a game. No, you're going up against a fully healthy Pelicans team who's red hot, or the Milwaukee Bucks, who are, I guess they're the second or third. I think they're third in the East now. Like those are two teams I would really like to see the Thunder put their best effort out and really be able to see them take control of those two games.
You have a request here. Who do they play on Sunday?
On Friday, will Taylor be on the pod Friday? I need him to tell me who they play on Sunday. Oh,
Bucks.
That's your brand. You have a brand now, but
I have a brand.
Speaking of the
other
Bucks,
than spit takes, I suppose
that's still an incredible moment. I got to say, another incredible moment. This is your weekly Bobby Portis update. 24 points, 15 rebounds tonight against the Celtics. Hello.
Silva has been all over this before the Bobby Portis offensive explosion has happened. I love it.
Yes. Bring him on. All right. When we start talking about Bobby, it's time to get the hell out of here. So we're going to get the hell out of here. Thank you guys for joining us for tonight's podcast. Join us Friday at Chicken and Pickle, Thunder hosting a watch party. We will be there recording our podcast once the game is over, hanging out before, watching the game. Come hang out. I'm sure we're going to bring stickers, get a sticker. I don't know if we're going to bring other merch. I have no idea. That's Jacob's. I'm going to let Jacob handle that, and we'll see. We'll just leave it up to him. But we will be there. Game starts at 6 p.m. Central Time. That'll be a blast. Great game tonight. Go watch. I'm going to go watch the Chet highlights like immediately after this, I think. What a game. What a game. What a moment. All right. Until next time, adios and thunder up.
Bucks.